Right, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Ches. Everybody got a special treat yesterday. Rabbi Leibowitz was back in town on his way out to the West Coast for a simcha, so we wish him and his older brother, my former chavrusa Avi, a hearty mazel tov on the upcoming bar mitzvah of his son, which he is celebrating, God willing, this coming weekend out in California. So Rabbi Leibowitz left off on the bottom of Lamed Zayin, Amud Beis, after the Mishnah. The Mishnah had introduced us to the idea of what happens if a shor belonging to a regular person, if a shor belonging to a regular Jew, gores a shor that belongs to Hekdesh, if a shor that belongs to Hekdesh gores a shor that belongs to a regular Jew. So the Mishnah had said that they're putter in either case. Why? Because it says shor reyeu velo shor shel Hekdesh. And then we started talking about a shor shel Yisrael that gored a shor shel Kanani, who would be putter. But if a Kanani gores a shor belonging to a Jew, then whether it's a shor tam or whether it's a shor muad, the Kanani would be chayef to pay nezek shalem and not chatzi nezek. And so Rabbi Leibowitz began yesterday a little bit reading the Gemara, and the Gemara had said that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, because Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh had said that if a shor shel hekdesh gores the shor of a hedyot, then it's going to be potter. So that's like the Mishnah. But then it says v'shel hedyot shenagach shor shel hekdesh. But if a shor shel hedyot, if a shor belonging to a regular Jew gores a shor of hekdesh, then bein tam bein muad mishalem nezek shalem. Then whether it's a shor tam or a shor muad, then it pays nezek shalem. So that's not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had said that they are putter both ways. No matter who's goring who or whose ox is goring who, it's going to be putter. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh seemed to say that Hekdesh gets a free pass. But if a shor of a regular guy gores shor shel Hekdesh, then it's going to have to pay nezek shalem. So the Gemara now is going to talk about what exactly the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh is, and why he would seem to hold this hybrid shita. Why is mechayev a shor shel hedyot that gores a shor shel hekdesh, whereas he paters a shor shel hekdesh that gores a shor shel hedyot? The bulk of the Gemara on today's daf on Lamed Ches is not going to discuss hekdesh at all. It's going to discuss the concept of shor shel kanani shenagach shor shel Yisrael and shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel kanani, and it's going to explain why a Kanani shor that gores a shor of a Jew is going to be chayev bein tam bein muad nezek shalem, but the opposite is going to be putter. Why exactly it was, we'll see that there was a knas levied on the Kananim. The Gemara is going to explain why there was a knas, and then the Gemara on Amud Beis, going on to Amud Beis, is going to talk about why we were misakin certain things regarding the Ammonim and the Moavim in terms of not oppressing them because of great people who ultimately came out from them. So today's daf is actually a very nice break from a lot of the technical concepts we've been discussing in prior days. So that said, let's dive in. It is three lines down in the wide lines on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, fifth word from the end of the page, Amri. So fifth word from the end of the line, Amri. So Amri, Mike's over Rab Shimon. What exactly does Rab Shimon hold? Again, Rab Shimon ben Manasseh said, shor shel hekdesh gores shor of a hedyot, potter, but shor shel hedyot that gores shor shel hekdesh bein tam bein muad mishalem nezek shalem. So that seems to be a hybrid sheet that's weird. Why does he hold like that? So Irei Dafka, if he's going to say shor reyu velo shor shel hekdesh, then afilu shel hedyot shenagach shel hekdesh liftar, then the pter should work both ways. Either way, no matter which way the goring is going, the shor should be potter, because you should be potter, you should be chayiv only when it's shor shel reyu, not shor shel hekdesh. V'reyu lav dafka, and if he's going to say that reyu is lav dafka, because the hedyot is going to be chayiv if his shor gores even a shor shel hekdesh, then afilu de hekdesh nami ki nagach the hedyot l'chayiv. If you're not going to say that it's dafka by reyeu, then even if a shor shel hekdesh is going to gore a shor shel hedyot, that shor shel hekdesh should also be chayiv, because we're not going to say that it has to be a shor shel reyeu particularly, specifically. So says the Gemara, v'chitem l'alam k'sava reyeu dafka. Let's say really he holds reyeu dafka. Really Yehuda yields that it has to be Shorshal Rieu, and therefore Shorshal Hektish that gores a Shorshal Yisrael is going to be Potter. Umiyu de'edyot ki nagach de'ektish, haynu time of the Mechayiv. However, when the Shorshal Hedyot is going to gore the Shorshal Hektish, the reason that he's Mechayiv is Meshum de Kamaisi Lami Kalvachomer de Hedyot, because he brings a Kalvachomer from a Shor Hedyot. Uma Hedyot Shanagach Shal Hedyot Chayiv. Madach, a Shorshal Hedyot that gores another Shorshal Hedyot is going to be Chayiv. Ki nagach de'ektish lo kolshkein. When a Shorshal Hedyot is going to gore a Shorshal Hektish, alachas kama v'kama should be Chayiv. The Mechayiv. But then Dayo Lovo Ben Adin Lios Kenidon. But then we should apply the principle of Dayo, and we should say Malahalan Tam Chatzin Ezek Hachanami Tam Chatzin Ezek. Well, just like by a regular guy, by two regular guys, if a Shor Tam gores, then he pays Chatzin Ezek. If a Shor Muad gores, he pays Nezek Shalem. If you're going to bring from a Kal V'chomer the fact that just like I pay for a Shor Shal Hedyot, I have to pay for a Shor Shal Hektish, well then Dayo Lovo Ben Adin, I should only pay Chatzin Ezek by a Tam, and only Nezek Shalem by a Muad. So why does Rav Shimon say that I pay Nezek Shalem, whether it's a Tam or a Muad? Ela Amar Rav Reish Lokesh, HaKol Haya Bechlal Nezek Shalem. Really, everything was Bechlal Nezek Shalem. Kishapirit Locha Kosov Re'eyu. In other words, the Stam Alacha. Stam Alacha, if a Shor gores another Shor, Me'ikar Adin, everybody should be Mechayev Nezek Shalem, because it makes sense. Your piece of property caused damage to another person, you should have to pay for the damage, right? So you should have to pay Nezek Shalem. So everything was really Nezek Shalem. But when the Pasuk told me a chiddush of Re'eyu by a short time, Re'eyu de Tam Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. It's dafka by Re'eyu that we made this supplemental takana that I don't have to pay Nezek Shalem if it's a Tam, I only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. But then, Michlal de Hektish bein Tam bein Mu'am Mishalem Nezek Shalem. But by Hektish, which is not Re'eyu, we default back to the default halacha, and the default halacha should be Nezek Shalem, whether it's Tam or Mu'ad. So says the Gemara, Dim Kein, Nichtav Kral Lahai Re'eyu Gabe Mu'ad. Because if the goal was to say that a Shor Shal Yisrael is never Chayiv for goring a Shor Shal Hektish, then it should have said, Ki Yigach Shor Shal Ish Ashor Re'eyu Legabe the Halach of Ashor Amu'ad. And then the halach of a Shor Amu'ad would apply only to Re'eyu but not to Hektish. The Pasuk didn't say that. It says Re'eyu Dafka by Tam to tell me that the only time Hektish is accepted is that it's accepted from the halachos of Tam, but the halachos of Mu'ad stand. So therefore, if a Shor of a regular guy gores a Shor Shal Hektish, it is going to be Chayiv. He is going to be Chayiv Nezek. He is going to be Chayiv Nezek Shalem. So in that case, why is a Shor Shal Hektish Potter if it gores the Shor of a regular guy? If we're saying that the exclusion of Re'eyu is Dafka by a Shor Tam, then the general halacha, the default halacha of Shor Amu'ad should apply both ways. It should apply to a regular guy who gores a Shor Shal Hektish, or a Shor Shal Hektish that gores a regular guy. So says Rashi that the Pasuk also says, V'huad Bivalov. That it also is, it was warned, it was known to be a Shor Amu'ad Bivalov. It's only when it has a private bailim. But Hektish is not a private bailim. Hektish is publicly owned. Masha'en kein a Shor Shal Hedyot. So that's why there's a special exclusion that teaches me why the Shor Shal Hektish is going to be Potter. But by a Shor Shal Hedyot, we default to the regular halacha, and it is going to be Chayiv Nezek Shalem Bein Tam Bein Mu'ad. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So Shor Shal Yisrael Shanagach Shor Shal Kanani Potter. If a Shor belonging to a Jew gores a Shor belonging to a Kanani, the Shor is going to be Potter. Says the Gemara Amri Mimanavshach. Says the Gemara again, I don't understand this split halacha. You told me if a Shor Shal Kanani gores a Shor Shal Yisrael, the Kanani is going to have to pay Nezek Shalem, but if the Shor Shal Yisrael gores a Shor Shal Kanani, he's going to be Potter. So again, it doesn't make sense. So Ireyu Dafka, if Re'eyu is Dafka, if the Shor is only going to be Chayiv, if we have a Shor Re'eyu goring a Shor Re'eyu, so the Kanani Kinagach the Yisrael Nami Lifter. So when the Shor Shal Kanani gores the Shor Shal Yisrael, it should also be Potter, because it's not Re'eyu. The Ireyu Lav Dafka, and if Re'eyu is Lav Dafka, then Afilu the Yisrael Kinagach the Kanani Nechayiv. Then when a Shor Shal Yisrael gores a Shor Shal Kanani, it should also be Chayiv. So, but why did you tell me that when a Shor Shal Yisrael gores a Shor Shal Kanani, it's going to be Potter? So Amar Rav Avo, Amar Kra, it's because there's a special limud. There's a special limud. Really, they should be Chayiv both ways. But by a Jewish Shor goring a Shor of a Jew, goring a Shor of a guy, it says in the Pasuk, Amad Vayimdod Eretz, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood and judged the land, Ra'a viter gayim. And he saw, and then he released the gayim. So what does it mean that he released the gayim? So ra'a sheva mitzvos shekiblu aleim b'nei Noach. He saw that the b'nei Noach were mekabel upon themselves, the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Kivan shelo kimu, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were not being mekayim the mitzvos, amad v'hiter mamonam liyisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood, and he was matir the mamon of a Knani to Yisrael, and therefore a shor of a Jew that gores a shor of a guy is not going to be chayef to pay, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a knas on the Akam for not fulfilling the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, said, you know what, your assets are fair game. I am not going to penalize Jewish people for causing damage to your assets. Tosfos over here says, Tosfos Divrei Maskal Oma, the second on the page, says, Mashma Davka Binyan Zeh Shenogach Shor Shalonu Shor Shalahem. Now, it's mashma that the Viter Mamonam, that the Heter Mamonam Liyisrael is Davka in this case. If you're having like an... Look, it's an accident. It was damage, but it was an accident. But it's only here where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it's fair game, I'm not going to penalize you. And says, observes Tosfos, that that's good according to the Man D'Yamar, who holds later on in the Masechta that Gezel Kanani is Aser. Because in that case, it's Aser to steal from Kananim generally. It's Dafki here, Legabe Nezek, where we have this special lima that teaches me that I don't have to pay, that I'm putter. But if you want to say like the Man D'Yamar later on in the Masechta that Gezel Kanani is going to be mutter, so then it's not Dafke here where we impose the Knas, it's rather everywhere that we impose the Knas. We're just not going to impose regular norms of Dine Mamanis and of really Isser V'Heter, even of Gezel, with regard to a Kanani. But says the Gemara anyway, why is the shor of a Jew putter if it gores the shor of a guy? It's because of a knas. It's because of this knas. Rav Yochanan Amar Mehalcha. Rav Yochanan learns from a different place. It says Ophia Mehar Paran. It says Ophia. Before we go weiter, that the Rambam. So that's what Tosfa says. The Rambam says that the shor of a Jew that gores the shor of a guy is going to be putter. Why? It's because in the Goyish court system generally, they don't impose liability if a shor belonging to a guy gores a shor belonging to another guy. And therefore, of course you're not going to be chayiv if you're a Jew and your shor gores a guy, because they're not going to hold that you're chayiv anyway in their court system. That's what the Rambam says. The Ravid says where he used to live at least, and implying that the Rambam is not being accurate, because in his place, in his time, they always used to be mechayev a shor of a guy that gored the shor of another guy, and therefore, the shor of an akum that gores the shor of a Yisrael is going to be chayev because they were not zor in the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And if you were not going to be mechayev him on the negicha, then he's not going to watch his animal. And if he's not going to watch his animal, then it's going to be a tikkun olam problem. Then you're going to have animals running wild. That's not going to be good. And so it comes out that the Ravid says that the reason that you are mechayev the guy is not really because of a punishment. It's really more of a practical concern, so that they should be motivated to guard their animals. The Miri says that according to the Shita of the Rambam, then this inyan is shayich only by goyim that don't have a legal system. Again, the Rambam said the reason that the shor of a Jew is putter if it gores the shor of a guy is because they don't have a legal system that's mechayiv them for damage anyway. And nowadays we live in a system where you are chayiv if you cause somebody damage. So in a system like ours, if a shor of a Jew were to gore a shor of a guy today, Ladine Torah, it'd be chayev. Why? Because there's no reason to impose a knas on them, because they have a regular legal system. There's also a general machlokas rishonim whether this pasuk is a real pasuk, whether it makes it whether it's midine kabbalah or whether, and especially the next makar of Avi Amar Paran, which is actually a pasuk in the Torah, whether it's midine kabbalah or whether really it's an asmachta whether it's only in a smachta bialma. But in any event, back in the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan says, four lines up from the wide lines, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan says that we learn it from the following pasuk. Ofia mehar paran. It says in the pasuk Ofia, Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed something mehar paran. So meparan ofia mamonam li Yisrael. So from paran, Hakadosh Baruch Hu revealed the money of the goyim to the Jewish people. Why? Because on Har Paran is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offer the Torah to all of the Akum, and they refuse, and it's at that point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, and they should have accepted the Torah. They didn't, and therefore as a punishment for failing to accept the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all bets are off, your money is now free to the Jewish people. The Jewish people don't have to pay if they damage if they damage your property. The Maritz Chaya says a very nice vart. He says, where's the makar over here that afia me'ar paran has anything to do with dinei mamonis? So he says that what was afia me'ar paran? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going around trying to peddle the Torah, as it were, to the Goyim. We know that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the relationship of a husband and a wife, and the giving of the Torah is considered to be the chuppah, right? We're considered to have a very strong bond, almost like a marital bond with the Torah. Mehar is from the Lashon of Mohar. It's like from the Lashon of a dowry that you have by Yeksuba. And because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do is basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mishadech first, Kav Yachol, with the Yaakov by giving them the Torah. They said no. So he said, fine, you know what? I'm going to pater you. I'm going to exempt your money. I'm going to reveal your money to Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to make sure that they're not chaya for causing you damage. So says the Gemara Vayter, Tanya Nami Hachi, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shel Kanani. If a Shor Shel Yisrael gores a shor belonging to a guy, Potter, it's going to be Potter. Shor Shel Kanani Shenagach Shor Shel Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Muad Meshalim Nezek Shalim. If a Shor Shel Kanani gores a shor of a Jew, whether it's a Shor Tam or a Shor Muad, it's got to pay Nezek Shalim. Shenemar Amad Vayimdod Eretz Ra Viet Viter Gayim Viomer Afiyam Ayar Paran. So my Viomer, why do I need both of these psukim? So Vechite Mahay Amad Vayimdod Eretz Miboy Leilich the Rab Masnach the Rab Yosef. Because if you want to say that the pasuk of Amad Vayimdod Eretz is needed to teach me the halachos of Rab Masnach and Rab Yosef, Tashma Afiyam Ayar Paran. So I have another pasuk of Afiyam Ayar Paran. May Paran Afiyam Amonam Li Yisrael. From Paran, or on account of the Maisa that happened in our Paran, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the Nechasim of the Goyim to the Jews, and he said that you're not going to be Chayiv if you cause damage, or if your Shor causes damage to a Shor Shel Akum. Says the Gemara, okay, you told me I might need the Pasuk of Amad Vayimdod Eretz to teach me the Halachos of Rav Masna and Rav Yosef. I have no clue what those Halachos are. What are those Halachos? So, Maid Rav Masna, what's Halacha of Rav Masna? Dehem Rav Masna, Amad Vayimdod Eretz Ra, Ma Ra, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra, Sheva Mitzvah, Shenestavu Olam B'nei Noach, V'lokimum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, that the B'nei Yisrael were, that the Akum rather were Mekabel on themselves and didn't fulfill. Omad V'higlo, Somei Alad Masam. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he caused them to be Gola, he caused them to be exiled from their land. Umay Mashma Dahai Viter Lishna Digluye. How do we know that the Lashon of Vayater is a Lashon of exile? Who? How do we know that it's a Lashon of Golos? Because Ksivach Vayater Goyim, Uksiv Hasam, Nater Bahen Ala Oretz. And it says in the other Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, it says, Lenater Bahem Ala Oretz, and the Targum. And what's the Targum of Lenater? It's Lekafza Bahon Al Ara, to cause them to jump on the land. And what does it mean to jump on the land? It doesn't literally mean to jump. It means that they have to jump from place to place because they're constantly being exiled. So Halacha Rav Masna is that from this pasuk of Amad Vayimdod Eretz, we don't learn that you're putter for causing damage to the assets of a guy. What we learn is that because the goyim didn't fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach that they had previously accepted on themselves, their punishment was that they were exiled from place to place. That was their punishment. By the Rav Yosef, what's the limud of Rav Yosef then? So the Amar Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef says, Amar Vayimdod Eretz, Ra, Ma Ra, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? Ra, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Ra, Sheva Mitzvah Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noach V'lo Kimum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that they were Mekabel on themselves but didn't fulfill. Amad v'tirulan is gurei isker. Amad v'tirulan. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm going to release you from your obligation to perform the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach because I see that you're not performing them anyway. Says the Gemara, is gurei isker. So in that case, they benefited by not performing the Sheva Mitzvot. They were chayiv to perform them. They didn't perform them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I see you're not performing them. You're not chayiv to perform them anymore. Really, it works that way. That's crazy. Sim came at sinu chota nischar. In that case, we see that a chota is nischar. But he's nischar because he's no longer obligated to perform these mitzvahs because he's been violating them. But we know it doesn't work that way. So amar mar, derei de ravina lomar, shafilu mekaymeno, so im mekablin aleihem schar. No, it's a problem because even if they're mekayim the mitzvos, you are still not mekabel schar for performing the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, velo. So in other words, it's not a benefit to them, it's a detriment to them, that even if they do the mitzvahs, they're still not going to get schar. Says the Gemara, velo, v'atani rav meir omer minayin shafilu nachri v'osek b'torah shuk kohen gadol. How do we know that if a nachri is osek b'torah, then he's like a kohen gadol? So says the Rashba, first of all, on this, that's dafka if he performs the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. But if he's osek b'chol ha-Torah kula, then it's like he's ba'al enara marasa, because it says Torah tziva lanu Moshe marasha kilas Yaakov, and klomar not marasha but me'orasa. So in other words, the actual Torah, the full Torah, is something that's specifically dafka to Klal Yisrael. This is the concept of moar of the ksuba that the Maritz Chayis was said earlier, that we explained a couple of minutes ago. But if he's mekayim the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, then he's like a Kohen Gadol. So it says he's like a Kohen Gadol. Why of all things does the Gemara compare him to a Kohen Gadol? So if you look down toward the bottom of the page, there's a little Tosfos Debri Maskel Harei. It says Harei a Kohen Gadol Haldanaka Kohen Gadol Mishum the Darshinim Besota, because we have a Drasha Mesechasota Yikarahi Mepninim. It says that the Torah is more yakar, it's more valuable than pninim, than pearls. But we darshan, what does it mean, pearls? Mi koin godol hanichnas lifnai vilifnim. Not pninim, pearls, but it's more dear to us than the koin godol who goes lifnai vilifnim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. And that's why we already have a comparison in Masechta Sota between Torah and the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, the Gemara brings down here that if a Nachri is Osek B'Torah, then he's like a Kohen Gadol. So in any event, how could you tell me that if a Nachri does the Sheva Mitzvahs, he's not going to get Schar? So Talmud Omar, Shor Yasa Osam Adam V'Chai Bahem, Kohanim V'Levim Yisraelim, Lo Nemar Ela Adam. It doesn't say only Kohanim Levim Yisraelim should learn Torah and then V'Chai Bahem. It says anybody who learns Torah is V'Chai Bahem. Halam Adata, Shafil Anachri, V'Osek B'Torah, Rei Kohen Gadol. That if he's Anachri and he's Osek B'Torah, then he's like a Kohen Gadol. So Amri, so how can you tell me that he's not being Mekabel Schar? If we're lauding the Nochri, who's Osek B'Torah, and saying he's like a Kohen Gadol, it's mustaber to say that he gets schar. How can you tell me he's not even going to get any schar for learning? So Amri, Eimek Kabbalan Leah Schar, Kimitsuba Viosa, Ela Kamisha, Eina Mitsuba Viosa. He gets schar, but he doesn't get the schar that a Mitsuba Viosa gets. He only gets the schar of an Eina Mitsuba Viosa. The Amar Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina says, Godel a Mitsuba Viosa, Yosa Ramisha, Eina Mitsuba Viosa. That a Mitsuba Viosa gets more schar than a Misha, Eina Mitsuba Viosa. And therefore, It was a detriment. It was to the detriment of the Goyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, you're not Mechayev you're not Mechayev in these mitzvahs anymore. Why? Because now when they get Schar, they only get Schar Kamisha Eina Mitzuva Vosa, not Kamisha Mitzuva Vosa. Why does a Mitzuva Vosa get more Schar than an Eina Mitzuva Vosa? Tosfos explains that because if you're Mitzuva Vosa, then you have to battle with your Yetzirah. You have to overcome your Yetzirah in order to perform the mitzvah, because you're obligated to do it. The Yetzirah is sitting over here above your left shoulder telling you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You have to overcome, and that's why you get more schar. But if you're ain't a mitzvah viosa, so if you're not mitzvah in a mitzvah, so your Yetzirah to not do the mitzvah is not going to be as strong. So that's why the mitzvah viosa gets a better schar. That's why the mitzvah viosa gets a greater schar. Tosfos HaRosh says, no, it's simply because if you're Mitzvah Viosa, then it's obvious that the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you do the mitzvah. But if you're in a Mitzvah Viosa, so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is not so strong that you do the mitzvah. That's why if you're Mitzvah Viosa, of course you get better schar, because you are literally performing the will. You're literally performing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Tosfos HaRash. It should be noted that on this whole concept of Mitzuvah V'yosa, that there definitely is some level of schar to one who is Eina Mitzuvah V'yosa and does the mitzvah. There definitely is schar. It might not be, however, as great as the schar of a mitzvah vosa. There's a famous machlokas which comes to mind here between really Ashkenazim and Sfardim, whether women make a bracha on a mitzvah zasei shezman grama that they are technically not commanded to perform, because nashim are not chayavas a mitzvah zasei shezman grama except for all of the ones that there are mechayev, and it turns out there's really only a handful that they're not mechayev to do because there is no special lima to teach me that they are chayev. But there's a machlokas Ashkenazim Sfardim. Ashkenazim say that if a woman volunteers a mitzvah, even if she's not mechayev to do it, because it's a mitzvah zasei shezman grama, she still makes a bracha. Why? How could she say vitzivanu? Because vitzivanu goes not specifically on her, but it goes on Klal Yisrael generally. Sfardim, however, say no, that if a woman volunteers a mitzvah zasei shezman grama, it's great that she's volunteering it, but she can't say a bracha because she can't say personally vitzivanu. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. Satana Rabbanan, so we say like this. Kvar Sholcha Malchus Romi Shnei Sardiyotos, and the Malchus Romi already sent two officers, Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael, to the Chachmei Yisrael, Lamduno Taraskan. So they said, teach us your Torah. So Karu Vashanu Vishulshu. So they taught them the Torah three times. So there are two explanations in the Rashba. One interpretation is that they taught them the whole Torah three times. The second explanation is that first they taught them Torah, then they taught them Mishnah, then they taught them Gemara. But whatever it was, they sat down and they really shteiked. So they learned Torah three times. Pshas Pti Rosan, at the time that the Roman officers left the Chachamim Amrulem, they said, Diknaktu b'chol taraska, we were paying careful attention to all of your Torah, the emesu, and it's all the truth. Chutz midavar zeh shatem omrim, except for this one thing that you say, Shor Shel Yisrael shenogach Shor Shel Kanani Potter, that the Shor Shel Yisrael that gores the Shor Shel Kanani is Potter, Shel Kanani shenogach Shor Shel Yisrael bein tam bein muah mishalim nezek shalim, and that if a Shor Shel Kanani gores a Shor Shel Yisrael, whether it's a short tam or a short muad, it's got to pay nezek shalim. That and mimanav shach, and says the Gemara, and they said the Roman officer said mimanav shach. Ireyeu dafka, ifreyeu is dafka, afilu diknani kinagach the Yisrael lifter. Bireyeu lav dafka, afilu the Yisrael kinagach the Knani lechayev. Vizavarze ain anu madian osa lamalchus. However, this thing, we are not going to tell the Malchus about this discrepancy because we respect you and your Torah, and we respect the fact that you taught us your Torah three times. Rashi explains, how come they didn't understand this? I mean, it's amazing if you think about it. They learned the whole Torah three times. They were picking it. They were so medoctic that they picked up Dafka on Re'eyu and on the inconsistency. But we had a reason. We had two reasons in the Gemara, two psukim that we were Doresh that taught us why the shore of a Jew is going to be Potter if a Gor is the shore of a Goy. Rashi says, yeah, but they couldn't explain the reasoning to them because the Chachamim aren't going to be able to explain, well, you guys, you're bad guys, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, you're not doing it, and therefore the Torah's Vita, the Torah's Vayater, Mamonam Shalachem, the Torah says, you guys are fair game. The Chachamim were smart. They didn't want to disclose all of these ins and outs to the Roman officers. That's why they didn't really understand it. The B'nai Yisachar has, so the end of the story is, even though they said that they wouldn't disclose it to the Goyim, to the authorities, obviously they did, and there were battles between the Romans and the Jewish people. The B'nai Yisachar says a fascinating vart, that's why it says, Kisfu lechem al keren hashar, dein lechem cheleg belokei Yisrael. What's Keren Ashar? What's Keren Ashar Lagabe, the Kitrug of the Akum? Because the Akum were Makatre Klal Yisrael because of Iske Shar, because of this halacha that they didn't like, that the Shar Shal Akum that gored the Shar Shal Yisrael is Chayiv Nezek Shalem, whereas the Shar Shal Yisrael that gores the Shar Shal Akum is Chayiv. It was that halacha Lagabe Yashar that caused them to rat the Jewish people out to the Malchus. That's why it says the B'nai Yisachar, Kisru lachem al keren ashar. It's on account of the halacha that applies to a shar. Says the Gemara Vayter. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda shchiva lebarta. The daughter of Shmuel bar Yehuda died. Amulei Rabbanan liula. So the Rabbanan said to Ula, kum nezal nenachme. Let's go be Menachem Aval. Samar lehu, ma yislecha gabe nechemta de bavloi. Why are you going to pay Menachem Aval to be Menachem Aval to a Babylonian? Digidufu, because they're blasphemers. Why are the Bavliim blasphemers? Because the Amri mai efshar lemevad. Because when they are Menachem Aval, what they say is, oh, what could we have done? Mai efshar lemevad. But the mashmah says, so efshar lemevad avdi, which is mashma that if they could do something, then they would do it. But you can't say, oh, what could we have done? Mashma, that if I could have done something differently, I would do it. It's like Zei Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the person died. So if you say something with an inference that if I could have done something differently, I would have, it's like you're Mekatreg on the Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should, we could come back to this in a little bit, but just Lahalacha, the Yamshel Shlomo explains that the Rif and the Rush says that we don't paskin like this, that you could say whatever you want. You say, oh my gosh, if only we could have done something different, if only it would have been different. There's no problem with saying that. There's no problem with saying that on we're saying that at a shiva house, but the Maharil says no, that you shouldn't say even, oh my gosh, I'm so overcome with grief about the misa, because it looks like you're being mekatreg on the midas on the midas hadin. But Rav Yaakov Emden says no. We even see in the Navi where David says regarding the death of Yonasan, it says tzar li alecha. It says, oh my gosh, I have such a tsar. So there's nothing wrong with really saying this. But the Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael didn't like the way they were Menachem Avel and Bavel, and so they said, we're not going to go pay a shiva call to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. So it gets interesting now. So also hulu chudei. So he himself went. And what did he say? So Amar Lei Vayomer Hashem Al Teitzaras Moav Val Tiskar Bamelchama. So he brought down a pasuk. It says, don't antagonize Moav and don't wage war with them. V'chima Alal Daito Shal Moshe Lasos Melchama Shelo Bershus. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to warn Moshe not to do battle with Moav? Why would Moshe have thought to do battle with them absent an express commandment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Elanosa Moshe Kal V'chomer Ba'atzmo. It's because Moshe made a Kal V'chomer for himself. Umam Midyanim Shalobo Elalazarus Moav Madach, the Minyanim who only came to assist Moav, they were not the antagonists. Amr Torah Tzor Sa Minyanim V'kisim Osam. There's a positive commandment to wage war with the Minyanim. Moavim Atzman Lokol Shkein. So by the Moavim themselves, Lokol Shkein, isn't it Alakas Kama V'kama that I should wage war with them. The Proshas Drachem asks, how could Moshe make this Kal V'chomer? Moshe was making a Kal V'chomer to wage war against Moav. We know that we have a klal that ain't onshin min adin, that we can't exact a punishment on somebody based on a Kal V'chomer. But over here, Moshe was deciding to go to war based on a Kal V'chomer. That's an onesh. And over here, we say onshin min adin. Proshas Drachem says that ain't onshin min adin is shayach only to a Jew, but not to a goy. And also, it's also possible to explain that the reason that we say onshin min adin is not because we don't trust the Kal V'chomer to impart the punishment. It's because the punishment may not be strong enough to absolve one, to be mechaper one from the sin. That's why. However, over here, it definitely would be a kapara gemura. Why? Because there is no, you know, there is, by a goy, there is no malchus and carbon and this and that. No, it's if you do something wrong, you're chayav misa. Here, he was going to go to war with them, they'd be chayav misa. So that's why, another explanation of the Proshas Rachem, why there would not be a problem, of onshin menadin. And then we should just know, Tosfos points out over here that it doesn't literally mean that there was a Kal V'chomer. Why? Because the whole Maisa with Moav is, the whole Maisa with Moav is written in the Pasuk before it says Tzoror Samidyanim. So in other words, the Kal V'chomer can't be, well, Moshe says, well, if you told me Tzoror Samidyanim, and therefore I know if I have to attack the Midyanim, I certainly have to attack the Moavim. Because at the time of this whole Maisa with Moav, the pasuk of Torah Sabbatianim wasn't written yet. But what it means is that Moshe could have been, Tosfos tells us, Moshe could have been, could have made this Kal V'chomer to teach us that you should go to war against Moab. Samar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo, kishalta adaita, alta adaiti. No, I didn't think the same way. Why? Because Shtei Paredos Tovos, Yeshli lo Tzimam, because I have two wonderful pigeons, literally, but two wonderful people to bring forth from the Moab, from the Moabite nation. Rusa Moavia V'nama Hamonis. I have Rusa Moavia Nama Hamonis. V'alo Dvarim Kal V'chomer. Here's how he was Menachem Aval. V'alod varm kal v'chomer. U'ma b'shvil shtei predos tovos chasak HaKadosh Baruch Hu al beis umas gedolos v'lo achrivan. Now madach, just for these two people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a rachmanos on two entire nations and told us not to destroy the nations just for two people. Bito shal rebi yim k'shera hi v'ruriya hi lotzis m'menu devar tova l'achas kama v'kama. Your daughter, if she was a k'shera and if she was going to have your worthy descendants, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have spared her, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared two evil nations just for two people. So if your daughter was worthy, certainly she would have been spared. What in the world kind of way is this to be Menachem Aval? You're basically telling the guy, your daughter is worthless, and she's so bad, she's worse than the Moavim, because even the Moavim were spared just for two good people. Your daughter was worthless. So the Mefarshim worked to explain what exactly he meant here. And so they say, they really, you judge for yourself. And then they fetch out an answer that what he was really saying was that, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things only that are just, obviously. And so the reason that Ammon and Moab were not destroyed was because of these people who came out from Ammon and Moab, meaning that there was still potential left that the nations had to fulfill, and that's why they couldn't be destroyed at that time. Your daughter was taken from you now because she has fulfilled all of her potential. She has left nothing left on the table. She gave her all, whatever her tafkid was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put her in the world to do, she fulfilled it, and that's why she was taken now. So, still, is that, I guess it's a nechama, but probably could have presented it with a little bit more tact. Anyway, who are we to criticize? So says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So says Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. In a Kadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar kol bria afilu schar schichanah. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold the schar for any good deed, even the schar of merely speaking nicely, speaking in a refined manner. Why? Dila Bechira, because you have the two daughters of Lot. By the Bechira, the Kamra Moav, by the Bechira who said, remember, they both slept with their father and they both had kids. The Bechira called the kid Moav, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemoshe, Al Tetzaras Moav, Val Tiskar Ba Melchama, that don't wage war with them, but Melchama Hu Delo Ha Anagria Ovid, that you shouldn't do Melchama, but you could levy taxes against them. Tzira, but the younger one, the Kamar Ben Ami, the Tzira, the younger daughter of Lot, who slept with him second, who said Ben Ami, who called him Ben Ami, which is a little bit more of a private lashon, and it's not as in your face as Moav, Me'av. I mean, that calls to mind the adultery, the illicit relation, but she was more tactful. Samarleya Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Vekarafta Mul Bnei Amon, Al Tetzuram Ve'al Tiskar Bam Klal, Dafilo Anagri Lo Savibu, that you're not even allowed to collect levies from Amon, because, and that's it, that's in recognition of the more refined lashon that the younger daughter of Lot used. Now we're going to learn another din from here, that really a person should be makdim for a dvar mitzvah. That because of the one night that the bechira slept with Lot before the tzira, before the younger one, kedamta arba doros li Yisrael. Their descendants entered Klal Yisrael four generations earlier. Why? Because Oved Yishai David v'Shlomo v'ilu tzira ad rechavam. And the younger one, she started having descendants that were in Klal Yisrael only at the time of Rechavam ben Shlomo, which was four generations after the Moavim entered Klal Yisrael. D'chsev v'shem imon na'ama ha'amonis. And the Shem Isha was na'amon ha'amonis. Tosfa says that you have to explain that both the older daughter and the younger daughter were miskaven l'shem shamayim, because if they were not miskaven l'shem shamayim, so what dvar mitzvah is this? So Tosfos says no, they were both miskaven l'shem shamayim. They were both miskavim toward bar mitzvah. The only distinction was in the language. The older one used a very prost, a very crude language, whereas the younger one used a more tactful language. That's why she was Ocha, her descendants enter Klal Yisrael four generations. That's why we said don't even levy taxes against Ammon. But Moav was Zoche that they enter Klal Yisrael four generations earlier, because despite the lack of tactful language used by the older daughter, she too was Meskavin L'Shem Shemayim. So God willing, we'll pick up tomorrow on Shabbos with the halacha of Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shel Kuti, and all sorts of ramifications as to what the halachic status of a kuti is.